Culture.
The champagne boom. Bottles up. The French sparkling wine is being taken more seriously by collectors.
Napoleon Bonaparte was a champagne enthusiast. He became friends with the heir to Moët & Chandon, now the world's largest seller of French bubbly, while studying at a military academy. Later, as emperor, Napoleon stopped in Épernay on his way to and back from war. In victory, you deserve champagne. In defeat, you need it, he said. Champagne now merits its own victory tour. The value of sales of champagne hit 6.4 billion euros, that's $6.9 billion, in 2023. 2021 to 23 were the best years on record, even after accounting for inflation. Over the past 5 years, the Champagne 50 Index, which tracks the value of the top brands, traded on Livex, a wine-buying platform, has surged by 47%, more than any other regional index worldwide, including Bordeaux, up by 1.3%, Burgundy, 25%, and Italy, 29%. In the past half-decade, the Wine Advocate has published more articles and reviews devoted to champagne than it did in the preceding 41 years since its founding, says William Kelly, the editor-in-chief. Bottles can bear the champagne name only if they hail from that region of northeastern France near Epernay. On June 20th in Paris, Sotheby's is holding the world's first champagne-only auction, which is expected to raise 1.5 to 1.9 million euros. From 2022 to 23, the volume and value of champagne sold by Sotheby's nearly tripled. Last year, a champagne producer, Krug, ranked in the top 10 wine producers sold by the auction house for the first time. The fact that wine aficionados have only lately lapped up champagne may be a surprise. Champagne has long been a luxury brand in its own right, a global symbol of celebration and splurging. LVMH, a French luxury goods juggernaut, has collected champagne companies like a tippler acquiring bottles. It owns seven, including Dom Pérignon, Krug, Moët & Chandon, and Veuve Clicquot. Together, they account for an estimated 46% of global champagne sales by value and 23% by volume, according to Edouard Aubin of Morgan Stanley. The disparity arises because LVMH sells a lot of prestige cuvées, an elegant-sounding term for expensive bottles. Big champagne houses can afford Balthazar-sized advertising budgets. For much of modern history, champagne has been pushed as a bubbly drink for bubbly people, writes Robert Walters in Bursting Bubbles, a book about champagne. It has been drunk by rappers and those wrapping up their evenings at nightclubs. This double-edged marketing has both led to champagne's incredible popularity and diminished its reputation among connoisseurs, according to Mr. Walters. Enophiles did not take it very seriously. Champagne was considered a fine thing, but not necessarily a fine wine, explains Justin Gibbs of Livex. Wine lovers, however, have started to look at their champagne flutes differently. People now view champagne as a wine, and not just a celebratory drink, says Jamie Graham of Brunswick Fine Wines and Spirits, a British merchant. Instead of being regarded as a mere aperitif to be sipped before moving on to something more serious, champagne is now being savoured and paired with food more often. Two things changed. One was COVID, which gave wine lovers more time at home to research and try new bottles. It may seem odd that a festive drink flourished at such a bleak time, but well-off people who were not going out to dine in restaurants sought pleasures at home, sometimes bidding in online auctions for new bottles. They also had more time to study the terroir of champagne and producers' different methods of blending and adding dosage, a mixture including cane sugar that sweetens it before bottling. In other words, drinkers started to understand there is a wine behind the bubble, says Arthur Larmandier of Larmandier Bernier, a champagne house. At first, Mr. Larmandier thought it would take 5 years for champagne to bounce back from COVID. Instead, demand surged, and it took 6 months. The second factor is more appreciation for the smaller houses that produce limited quantities of high-quality bubbly. Prices for these grower champagnes have rocketed on the secondary market. The Wine Market Journal's Grower Champagne Index has more than doubled in value since 2019. Enophars now invoke these winemakers' last names with the fondness that football players refer to their teammates. Celos, Prévost, Colin, Bouchard, Aigle-Ourier. Celos, at around $650 a bottle, is the Lionel Messi of grower champagne. Growers have brought artisanal winemaking techniques to champagne, relying more on ripe, carefully tended grapes than on dosage. This leads to a lower sugar profile and greater complexity. Appreciation of grower champagne connects with a broader trend in culture, including gastronomy, whereby people are seeking out local, authentic producers and tastes, says Mr. Kelly of the Wine Advocate. More reviews of champagne by Mr. Kelly and fellow critics piqued the interest of collectors and investors, who found even the highest quality champagne undervalued relative to top wines from Burgundy and Bordeaux. The grower champagne producers are disruptors, changing not only enophiles' minds about French bubbly, but also the viticulture practices of some of the largest houses. Recently, the Grandes Marques have been investing more in releases from specific vineyards, which can compete better with grower champagne. They have also altered their marketing, no longer showing photos of suit-clad cellar masters in wine cave, but instead featuring them in humble attire in vineyards. Yards closer to the vines. This is not Champagne's first transformation. In the 17th century, when Dom Pérignon, a monk, was making it in his abbey, bubbles were seen as a flaw. Champagne then was a still wine. Though Pérignon is credited with being the inventor of champagne, that is just marketing. His famous remark, "Come quickly, I am drinking the stars," first appeared in a 19th century advert. It was only in the 18th century that the Champagne region embraced bubbles as both a source of differentiation and a justification for higher prices. What does the future hold? France used to buy most champagne, but that changed in 2012. Now America and Japan are important growth markets, says Stéphane Daliac, chief executive of Laurent Perrier, a prominent house. Unlike many firms peddling well-known luxury brands, bubbly makers are not optimistic in the near term about China, where buyers over 40 tend not to gravitate to the cold fizziness of champagne, Mr. Daliac says. But the sun is shining on champagne in many ways. Climate change is helping the region's wine by ripening grapes naturally, therefore requiring less dosage, says Peter Gibson of the Wine Market Journal. Many think the effect of grower champagne will endure, elevating the whole region's quality for years to come. Recently, champagne houses, thirsting for greater profits, decided to raise prices heftily to exploit the boom, thinking drinkers would tolerate it. However, demand for some fine wines has sputtered, sending wine indexes down. Inflation more broadly and economic uncertainty have also caused consumers to pull back. Champagne houses may be forced to adjust prices downward slightly to keep demand high. Call it a champagne problem.